Amen. Well, please take your Bibles, and if you'll turn with me at this time to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 18 is the verse we'll be starting with this morning. Our message series is called, Lord, I Have a Problem. And we're looking at how God helps you with your problems. And so far, well, we've looked at a bunch of them so far. We've looked at anger, envy, worry, depression, and fear. Now, today we come to the problem of pride. How does God help us with the problem of pride? So we're going to start with this verse in Proverbs 16, verse 18. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at this verse and a number of others from your word today, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us about this problem of pride. I pray that you would help us to understand it better, to understand why it's such a problem in our lives and how you can help us with it. Lord, speak to us through your word. Help us through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So are you a proud person? Do you ever struggle with pride? And be careful, because that's a trick question. Right? It's a trick question. You got to be careful how you answer, because there's this irony with pride, isn't there? Where the proud person often thinks that they're not. They think they're humble. That's why it's a trick question. The humble person sometimes thinks, oh man, I'm proud, and they're not. As Jack Benny used to say, modesty is one of my best qualities. And, you know, so we can fall into that trap, can we? You know, according to surveys, most people consider themselves above average. Think about that for a moment, okay? Should only be half of them. Most people. In fact, in these surveys, as many as 90% of respondents say that they are above average, which, of course, is impossible. You can't have 90% of people above average. So today we're talking about the problem of pride. This is a big one, folks, okay? It's a big one both for Christians and non-Christians alike. John Stott, speaking to Christians, writes this. He says, at every stage of our Christian development and in every sphere of our Christian discipleship, pride is the greatest enemy and humility is our greatest friend. The problem of pride. There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out. It'll help you to follow along and the different points. It has all the verses listed we'll be looking at. On the back side of the sheet are a number of references, different books. If you want to look for some other books to continue studying on this on your own in the future. Let's get started. We begin by talking about simply just the problem of pride. And the first and biggest problem with pride is simply this. God hates it. God hates it. You know, there are not too many things the Bible says that God hates, but God hates pride. Proverbs 16:5 says this, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. God not only hates pride, but he actively opposes it. The Bible tells us, James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, the reason God hates pride is because the proud person tries to displace God. Tries to displace God. Wayne Mack writes, pride consists in attributing to ourselves the honor, privileges, prerogatives, rights, and power that are due to God alone. Pride at its core is idolatry of self. A proud person puts himself or herself in God's place. Okay, so did you get that short version? Pride is when you try and take God's place. Good luck with that, by the way. God will not share his glory with another. And therefore, God hates pride. Not only does God hate pride, but pride hates God. You ever think of that? Pride hates God. Psalm 10:4 says this about the proud person. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him, does not seek the Lord. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. That's a problem, isn't it? Pride has no room for God. because pride does not want to submit to God. Pride hates God because pride thinks it can take God's place. Timothy Keller writes, spiritual pride is the illusion that we are competent to run our own lives. Newsflash for you, only God can run our lives. What does pride do? Pride seeks to displace God. And somehow we think we can manage things better than God. C.S. Lewis wrote, a proud man is always looking down on things. Always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. You see, those who are looking down all the time in pride never look up to find God. So those are the first two problems with pride. God hates pride and pride hates God. Third problem with pride is that pride forfeits wisdom from God. Forfeits the wisdom that you can have from God. Psalm 25:9 says, God guides who? The humble. God guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Now take that verse, couple it with Proverbs 26:12, says this, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. See, only the humble know God's wisdom because only the humble will receive God's wisdom. The proud person doesn't think they need help from God, and so they forfeit the wisdom that could be theirs. And finally, big problem with pride is that pride always leads to a fall. Always. Every time. No exceptions. We read it earlier, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, oftentimes that fall that you experience takes place in this life, but if not in this life, then guaranteed in the next. We read in Isaiah, the Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. It's going to happen. The arrogance of man will be brought low, the pride of men humbled, the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, every person has a choice between being humble or being humbled. You see the difference, right? In other words, you can either humble yourself or you can let God do it for you. Okay, option A is the better option. That's why Paul warns us, 1 Corinthians, he says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. So what's the problem with pride? Four things. God hates pride. Pride hates God. Pride forfeits the wisdom that comes from God. Pride always leads to a fall every single time. Now, we're going to talk about how to deal with this problem towards the end of the message, the application. But before we get there, we need to spend a little bit of time understanding more about pride. The Bible tells us so much about pride. So we want to understand this from a biblical perspective. And one of the things we need to do right at the start is understand that there is such a thing as a healthy pride. Okay, pride's not always bad. The Bible says that there's a proper place for boasting. You go, really? It's okay to boast. Well, we'll find out how in just a moment. There's a proper place for boasting. There's also a place for a healthy pride in yourself. Let's talk about boasting first. What's the proper place for boasting? Proper place for boasting is not in ourselves, but in the Lord. That's where you can boast. That's where pride is good. Take pride in God. We read in Jeremiah 9, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast of his strength or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, in other words, if you're going to boast, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Or as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:17, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So yeah, there's a place for boasting. Boast in God. Do that as much as you like. No problem. Now the Bible also talks about healthy pride in the sense of an honest self-assessment. Honest self-assessment. That is a healthy pride. Paul writes in Romans 12. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Okay, that's the bad pride. "But rather think of yourself with sober judgment, with a realistic assessment of who you are." Again, Galatians 6, we read, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." That's pride in the wrong sense. Paul goes on, "Each one should test his own actions, and then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else." The trick here is you take pride in yourself without comparing, no comparing to anyone else. In other words, this is truly a self-assessment rather than a self and others assessment when I assess myself in relation to you. And so, according to the Bible, it is good, it is right when you've finished a project and you've done a good job. It's good just to sit back and go, that's really good. That's really good. To take a sense of satisfaction in your work. You finish the lawn, you finish a project, you finish a painting, whatever it is. And you go, that is really good. That's not pride. That is a healthy pride because it is based on an honest self-assessment. I like how C.J. Mahaney puts this. He writes, "Humility is honestly assessing ourselves in light of God's holiness and our sinfulness." We need to keep both of those in mind. It's been said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. That's what we usually think, thinking less of yourself, but simply thinking of yourself less. Thinking of others more. Thinking of God and others more. Tim Keller calls this the freedom of self-forgetfulness, because there is a wonderful freedom when you take the focus off yourself and you put it on God and other people. And as long as we do that, as long as we keep our focus on God, then we can take a healthy pride in our accomplishments, in our children, in our family. You see, we don't glorify God by minimizing the good gifts he's given to us. That doesn't glorify God. But as long as we're boasting in the Lord instead of ourselves, as long as we're giving God the glory and not taking the glory for ourselves, we can enjoy this healthy pride in life. We simply need to think of ourselves honestly in light of God's word. And then we can take a healthy pride in what God is doing in and through our lives. That's a good thing. Of course, that's not a problem. We're talking about the problem of pride today. So let's go now and talk about this problem. We're talking about this wrongful pride that cuts us off from God and other people. And this wrongful pride has rightly been called the first sin. The first sin. We call pride the first sin for a couple reasons. First, because it was the first sin. It was the very first sin committed. But we also call it the first sin because all other sins proceed from it. Pride was the sin of the devil that caused him to rebel against God in the very beginning. We read in Isaiah 14, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, Lucifer, name for Satan, son of the dawn. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will make myself like the Most High." That's pride. Pride was the devil's downfall. And it continues to be the downfall for so many today. But pride was not only the first sin committed, it is also the source of all other sins, which makes it the worst sin of all. John Stott writes, "Pride is more than the first of the deadly sins. It is itself the essence of all sin." Jonathan Edwards wrote, "Pride is the worst part of the body of sin and death, the first sin that ever entered into the universe and the last that is rooted out. It is God's most stubborn enemy." Now, pride leads to all other sins, but there are five in particular. Particularly leads to the following five sins. These are ones we all struggle with. Now you'll know where the source of that comes from. Pride. First of all, it is pride that leads to disobedience. Pride leads to disobedience instead of submission to God. We read in 1 Samuel 15, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry." Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. This was Samuel talking to Saul. This was Samuel's rebuke of Saul when Saul's pride led him to rebel against God's clear instructions. Samuel calls it rebellion. We need to understand that pride is rebellion at heart. It leads to disobedience instead of submission. Secondly, pride leads to hypocrisy instead of authentic living. Hypocrisy instead of authentic living. Jesus said about the Pharisees, he said, you know what? Everything they do, it's done for men to see. In other words, the Pharisees were not living authentically for God. Rather, they were putting on a show for men. See, pride makes us pretend. We don't want people to think bad of us, so we pretend we are better than we are. But here's the thing, all your pretending doesn't make you any better. Proverbs 12:9 says, better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. In other words, who cares if everyone thinks you're rich when you open up the refrigerator and the shelves are bare? It's like sort of like lying about your gas mileage. It might make you look good in front of others, but it doesn't help when you're paying at the pump. False humility falls under this category as well. You know what false humility is, right? You know, someone compliments you. They give you a nice compliment, and you go, "Oh, it was nothing. It was nothing. Oh, really? I'm nothing. I'm not much at all." Well, it wasn't nothing. It was something. That's why they're paying you a compliment. That's false humility. When someone pays you a compliment, the proper response is simply to say thank you or praise the Lord. But thank you, just say thank you. Henry Fairley writes, a false humility is no more to be praised than a false pride. Depreciating oneself, putting yourself down, is as wrong as esteeming oneself too much. So we need to let go of all pretense and just live genuine lives with each other. Did you mess up? Admit it. Are you bad at something? Don't say you're good at it. Are you good at something? Don't say you're bad at it. Relax. Be genuine. Be real. Learn to laugh at yourself. Someone said there's no lack of material. You're going to laugh about it someday, so why not start today? Start now. Don't be a hypocrite. Pride leads to hypocrisy instead of authentic living. Thirdly, pride leads to a judgmental spirit instead of love. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. This is the problem of self-righteousness. R.T. Kendall writes, pride makes us feel worthy to judge another. Ouch. Pride makes us feel worthy to judge another. You know what you're doing when you judge someone else? You're playing God, right? You're taking God's place. And we've already seen that's the very definition of pride, taking God's place. The Bible says you shouldn't even judge yourself. Let God judge you and let everything else go. You can't love someone when you're busy judging them, and you won't judge them when you're busy loving them. So when someone is caught in a sin, you should take the attitude, there but for the grace of God go I, and then come alongside and help them in love. Pride leads to a judgmental spirit instead of love. Fourthly, pride leads to boasting instead of meekness. Boasting instead of meekness. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you, not your own mouth. Someone else, not your own lips. The Apostle Paul wrote, I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. When was the last time you boasted to someone about your weaknesses? Paul said, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. That means that even if it's true, even if you are the best at something, you shouldn't be boasting about it. Seems we all feel this need to prove ourselves, don't we? And yet boasting never makes you look good anyways. Chuck Swindoll used to say, the world's smallest package is a man wrapped up in himself. And then finally, pride leads to isolation instead of community. Isolation instead of community. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud. Notice how those go right next to each other. Live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Pride isolates us from other people. Henry Fairley writes, the proud man sets himself up, and in doing so, he sets himself apart. And to imagine that one does not need community with others is a terrible form of pride. So what have we learned about pride so far? Pride is the root and the essence of all sin. Pride leads to disobedience instead of submission, to hypocrisy instead of authentic living, to a judgmental spirit instead of love, to boasting instead of meekness, and to isolation instead of community. In other words, pride is a big problem. We need to understand what a big problem this is in our lives. So how do you deal with it? How do you tame this animal of pride? I'm going to share with you 8 things now from God's word. They're all in your outline, 8 applications that will help you to deal with this problem of pride in your life. 8 things from God's word. Number 1, confess your sin to God. Pride is not just a problem, folks. It's a sin. It's the worst sin. If pride is independence and rebellion from God, then the first step back has to be confession. It's interesting. Anytime in Scripture, someone gets real close to God, you know what they first do immediately? They confess their sin. It's automatic. Job encounters God. What does he say? My ears had heard of you. Now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. That's what you do when you see God. Isaiah saw God in a vision. What did he do? He cried out, woe to me. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Dr. William Plumer writes, no man ever thought himself a greater sinner before God than he really was. He who sees no sin in himself will feel no need of a Savior. Andrew Murray, a wonderful Christian writer, reminds us it is pride that made redemption needful. It is from our pride we need above everything else to be redeemed. That's where it starts. That's the first thing you need to do if you're going to deal with pride in your life. Confess it as sin. Confess your sin to God. Number 2, consider the cross. Consider the cross. Paul wrote, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room for any other boasting at the cross. D. Martin Lloyd Jones writes, there's only one thing I know of that crushes me to the ground and humiliates me to the dust, and that is to look at the Son of God and especially contemplate the cross. John Stott writes, every time we look at the cross, Christ seems to be saying to us, I am here because of you. Nothing in history or in the universe cuts us down to size like the cross. Around Easter time, we often sing this hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Perhaps we should sing that song more often throughout the year. Consider the cross. Number 3, consider your salvation. Consider your salvation. Ephesians 2 says, for it is by grace you've been saved. It's grace. It's through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by works. So no one can boast. You are not saved by anything you have done, but simply by God's grace. God's love for you is not based on your performance, praise God, but on his nature and on Christ's finished work on the cross. Consider your salvation. You did not choose God. God chose you. That's got to be humbling. I love what Charles Spurgeon wrote about this. He said, I believe in the doctrine of election, the fact that God chose you, you did not choose him. I believe in the doctrine of election because I'm quite certain that if God had not chosen me, I should never have chosen him. And I'm sure that he chose me before I was born, or else he never would have chosen me afterwards. And he must have elected me for reasons unknown to me. For I never could find any reason in myself why he should have looked upon me with special love. Do you want to be humbled instead of proud? Consider your salvation. It's all of God. It's God's grace. He chose you. You didn't choose him. Number four, give God the glory. In all things, give God the glory. Joseph's a good example of this. When Joseph came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, interpret my dream. Joseph didn't claim any credit for himself. Joseph said, I can't do it. And I cannot interpret your dream. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. He gave God the glory. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, not that we are competent. You imagine Paul the Apostle saying he's not competent? Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Gave God the glory. Everything good you have in your life today, right now, everything good you have in your life comes from God. So make sure you give God the glory. Number five, submit to God's word. Submit to God's word. God says this, Isaiah 66:2. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. Or we read in 1 Timothy, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, that person is what? Conceited and understands nothing. How do we pridefully not submit to God's word today? Rejecting God's word outright. Picking and choosing from God's word according to our preferences. Reinterpreting God's word to try and fit the times. These are all evidence of sinful pride, which elevates man's authority over God's authority. You want to deal with pride in your life? Submit to God's word. Number six. Be thankful. Be thankful for God's gifts. Paul wrote to the Corinthians again. He said, what do you have that you did not receive? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is nothing. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? I love King David. He's a wonderful example of this kind of humility. Remember, God blessed him and his family. He said, I'm going to give you someone on the throne for forever and ever. And David, instead of saying, oh, well, look at me, he prayed, who am I? Who am I, O sovereign Lord? What is my family that you've brought me so far? Don't claim anything for yourself. Rather, receive all things with thanksgiving from God. Two more. Number seven, honor others before yourself. Romans 12:10 says, honor one another above yourselves. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, pride. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. This is a tough one, isn't it? Right? To honor people before ourselves. This is where we find out if we're truly dealing with the pride in our lives. Andrew Murray again writes, it's easy to think we're humble before God, but humility towards men will be the only sufficient proof that our humility before God is real. Our humility before God is nothing if not proved in humility before men. And that's why the Bible talks about honoring one another, being servants of one another, submitting yourselves to one another, considering others better than yourself. President Truman said, you can accomplish anything in life provided you do not mind who gets the credit. And as Christians, as believers and followers of Jesus, we should rejoice when God exalts someone else instead of us. You go, that's so hard. Yeah, it's so hard, but we should do that. Rejoice. Dave Harvey writes, one great measure of our humility is whether we can be ambitious for someone else's agenda. Our willingness to make others a success is a great measure of the purity of our ambitions. Timothy Keller defines humility as this, for it not to matter whether it was their success or your success, not to care if they did it or you did it. You're as happy that they did it as if you had done it yourself. That's the seventh way you can deal with pride in your life. Make this a habit. Make this a pattern of honoring others before yourself. And then finally, and this is where we end up every week, don't we? End up in the same place with every single one. Grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And in this case, especially love. If there's one fruit of the Spirit that's going to knock pride out of your life, it is love. Love cares about others. Pride cares about self. And 1 Corinthians 13:4 reminds us, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Let's pray. Dear God, we confess the sin of pride this morning. First service, Lord, a number of people walked out of the service and said, Pastor Ray, I'm a sinner. And I said, welcome to the club. Lord, we confess the sin of pride. We're so sorry, Lord, that we try to displace you in our lives. We follow in the footsteps of the devil who tried to take your place. It's never going to work, God. Pride goes before a fall. You've designed it that way. Lord, help us to boast in you, to take a healthy pride in all of the good things you're doing in and through our lives, but Lord, to give you the glory, to honor others before ourselves, to submit ourselves to you and to your word. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.